Or are we just going to find out? Are we?
No, I know what.
Are we going to do it live?
We're going to do this live. Ladies and gentlemen, it's live. This is, buckle up for this live sex, because it's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna. We're doing what now?
Buckle up for the live sex.
Live sex.
As opposed to that thing that we did last weekend after hours.
That was me doing live sex. What do you do after hours?
Necrophilia.
God damn it.
That is the joke.
Oh. I get it now. I'm quick. I've had a weekend. It was.
Yeah, we all
and
had
then
a
I did a
oh
show
God.
Yesterday as well because I'm dumb as
so,
fuck.
We're going to get straight to the drinks because we need it.
Yep.
Oh my God,
James,
yes.
James, tell us what.
All right.
What we got.
So, on our list of mud boozes to try, thank you, Mud Stuffin.
Yay, Mud.
We had the Coconut Parrot Bay. Captain Morgan, which we are not certain. It says that it contains natural coconut flavor, but it doesn't say that that flavor is made with coconut. However,
it
just
could
to
be
safe.
Natural banana, which I'm also allergic to.
Could
I don't
be,
know.
The expressed anal glands of a Canadian beaver.
Basically, what we're trying
it
to say is Jenick might die.
Sure.
We did lot of Googling beforehand.
And if she's going to die, we'd prefer that it be at our hands and not because of a drink. That's
right.
How that works.
Coconut will get me
so
one day.
So we've got Parrot
but
Bay,
today
coconut.
Is not that day.
I just imagine like a coconut peering around the corner soon.
I mean, I just finished rewatching Moana, so yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Like I just rewatched Moana a couple hours ago.
All right.
They're so cute.
I know.
So we got Parrot Bay coconut rum. What else?
So we have that. We have the whipped. Cream flavored vodka and
UV whipped.
Yep.
Yep.
And then Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper. What?
As per usual, because it makes an amazing mixer.
Use the whole fucking word there.
Totes.
As per usual.
Thank you.
Okay.
You can die in a fire.
In a
Soups
coconut fire.
Adorbs.
Because there's a chance that Jenna may die and not from...
It will not be from the coconut.
Not from... not from...
Might
you know,
be from Salsa's
an unnatural
hands.
Death at Salsa's hands. Because
drink, motherfuckers.
Yeah. What is this?
We've
what
made,
do I
we've
have?
We've made her a Black Forest chocolate cake.
Yay!
Again, thank you to
Yay,
Will
thank you.
For identifying what it was that we were drinking.
Huh. Mine's delicious.
Yeah. In the meantime, you and I have a coconut cream pie.
Yep.
How is it?
I'm okay with it.
Coconutty. Creamy.
All right. There you go.
I like.
Everything as advertised.
Yeah.
So, now that we have a drink, we can settle into business.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, did you?
What?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, ladies
what?
And gentlemen.
Yes, I think you'd better had.
Ladies
all
and gentlemen.
Right, then.
This is how this works. For those
okay.
of you who do not work at a Renaissance festival.
Oh, my God.
And don't get this. So,
I have non-festival things to talk about.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Gosh. Hold on. We'll get there.
Okay. We'll save it for the middle
We'll save it for October.
We need to preface this
yeah.
episode with this information. Okay.
Sure.
So, third weekend is Labor Day weekend. And that is 3 days long. That's a whole fucking lot of work.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And now you may be thinking, if you don't work at a Renaissance Festival, that 3 day weekend after that 3 day weekend is going to be the hardest weekend.
Oh,
and you would be wrong.
You poor adorable child.
The hardest weekend is the weekend
after
that. Because you have 3 days on, and instead of 5 days to recover, only 4 days to recover.
Mm-hmm.
So you've worked an extra day, and you've lost a day of recovery. So you get to weekend four, it's only 2 days long, and you start out on Saturday feeling pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But then you quickly realize you started on a quarter tank.
Yep.
Yep.
And so after fourth weekend, that's when it hits you.
Yeah.
And it hit me hard. I actually stayed home from work yesterday, homesick.
Yeah.
I'm trying to decide. I've got a Schrodinger's sore throat right now.
Yeah.
Where I can't decide if I'm actively sick, if I have all of the allergies happening,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
or if I just have a sore throat because I overextended it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, the entire dump truck full of dust that you've ingested.
Yeah, like there. So
the first lung.
am I actually sick? Is it allergies? I don't know. I've got a runny nose too, so I'm going with could still be dust. Possibly, probably allergies. I don't feel sick, and that's the only way that's I can good. Usually tell. It's like, oh, I'm not beat down or anything like that. It's just, So it could be a combination of allergies, dust, and overextending the throat.
For most of us, too, like those 4 days, especially following a national holiday, are work days.
What's that like?
I said for most of us.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but,
no.
I mean, work day or not, it's still only 4 days.
It's still recovery.
And it does take. So I just wanted to make sure that all of our listeners were on the same page with us when we started this episode, because we just got done with weekend 4 and we are
It's not the initial ass kicking, it's the second helping that gets you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's where we're at. Ooh. So if you hear me sniffling a lot or anything like that, I do heartily apologize, but that's where we're at.
Yep.
So, now that we've got that out of the way.
And also, this becomes our Barry White period.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah. Because it's been the past few weeks, and it's just going to continue.
I'm just talking about Shaft.
Then I can dig it.
Jenna.
Yes.
You have non-fest stuff to report.
I know. I'm super excited. I did a show yesterday because I'm dumb as fuck.
Outside of the festival?
Outside of the festival. The day after a festival
Dramatic
weekend.
Swoon.
I did a show the day after the weekend.
Yeah.
After Labor Day weekend.
Because
I'm stupid.
No. That goes beyond stupid. That is masochistic is what that is.
However, the delightful...
It's not fringe right now, right?
Huh?
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
I don't understand. However, when the absolutely delightful Reverend Matt Kesson asks you to do a monster show...
You say yes.
You do the monster show.
The lovely and talented
Matt Kesson. He is so fantastic. So I did Reverend Matt's Monster Ensemble, which is different than Reverend Matt's Monster Science.
Mm-hmm.
In Monster Science, he talks for anywhere from 10 minutes to half an hour on a particular monster topic. In the ensemble, he gets other people to assist in talking about various monsters. The first one of these I did was a dragons-based one. And I told a delightful story about working at the Ren Faire and working the talking dragon with Tiny. So this is the second one, I think, and the topic was horror movie monsters. So listeners may remember a previous host to this podcast.
Womp womp.
He was also there.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah, and he did a phenomenal job. His piece was amazing. I'm not gonna lie. He was solid. He did something on the Black Lagoon.
Yes, Creature from Black Lagoon. It was.
Did I mention that the topic was horror movie monsters?
Yeah,
I think I did. I'm really tired. So he did that, and then Tim Uren did a thing, and Pat Harrigan. There was monster movie burlesque. It was an incredible evening, and I got to participate. My piece was my favorite Christmas movie, The Gremlins.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm pretty pleased with how that piece turned out. I wrote it super tired and revamped it still super tired and under pressure. And I'm pretty happy. Yes. I was really happy with it, and I'll probably never perform it again, so I'll give you guys a quick thing on it. What?
No, he was saying yay.
Oh, okay. I missed it. What?
Whatever.
Anyway, so the piece is about the gremlins, and I talked about the gremlins themselves comes from the concept first came about like 1920s-ish. They're not sure if it was actually during World War I or just afterwards, but came about because of the plane fighters.
Mm-hmm.
Having different like mechanical malfunctions and things like that. And they would see these gremlins or blame it, regardless of having seen them, whatever, on gremlins, like all of these malfunctions. So I mentioned that that's...
Something on the wing.
Yeah. I mentioned in the piece that there was... That gremlins were first seen about this time. Mm-hmm. And then I talk about how that has nothing to do with the gremlins in the movie. Or does it?
Yep.
Dramatic sting.
Yeah, and I describe the gremlins in the movie for those that may or may not remember the great majesty that is the gremlins movie. Then I did an analogy between gremlins and stress and the stress to anxiety process.
Yeah.
Whereas like stress is healthy and you've got, you know, your adorable little gizmo as your little healthy stress kind of cohabitates with you and makes things happen.
It's
and then,
a metaphor.
And then.
What's a metaphor?
I don't know. What's a metaphor with you?
That's not how that... God damn it. But yeah, then like, you know, your worries will multiply and if you feed them, they will turn ugly and awful, especially after midnight. And yeah, I thought it was a pretty acceptable analogy. And then, not only that, but I tied it back to the airplane fighters.
Whoa.
And talked about how that was possibly how the concept of these gremlins came about, was that they were dealing with very extreme stress pressure situations, and these gremlins may have been like, you know, kind of figurative manifestations of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I brought it back to Christmas because it's a Christmas movie and how stressful Christmas time is.
Ooh,
wow. There were layers to this piece, I tell you what.
This parfait's got nothing on you.
Yeah. Yep.
We support you. Oh, he hates it when I do that, though.
Yes, I do.
Blessings on your house. Blessings on your cow.
Mazel tov. Mazel tov.
So, and James was there.
I was.
So he got to see all of that.
I did.
Thoughts?
I really liked it.
I meant on the show in general, but you can talk about how amazing I am. That's
right. No. Yeah, okay. I was saying, I had not made that link, and I really appreciated the... when people can take something that is sort of part of the cultural subconscious.
Sure.
And then relate it to a topic that is... new, or something that is just becoming part of what we know as a society. So I really appreciated that overlap.
Yay.
That you created, the Venn diagram between gremlins and anxiety, was really kind of a powerful piece that you did. So I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Yay.
Yeah.
Aside from mine, what was your favorite piece?
Matt's was really good.
It was really good.
But I'm also like I'm a huge fan of Bob Newhart. So yeah. There's that.
What about Shay Roberts' thing though?
Shay Roberts' thing was really good. That one was really cute. That I had Aaron Kennedy and Nathan Gerber.
Yep.
And they're all three of those people are super, super good.
Yeah.
And very funny. It might have been Tim Urenz.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tim Urenz was good. Really, really good. His was about the American monster.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, the masked or anonymous...
Mm-hmm. No identity.
Non-speaking... Yeah. Slasher, murderer.
Yep.
That cannot be bargained with, that cannot be...
You know, it is evil, right. Purely for the sake of being evil.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the end of that, I thought, was the best.
Yeah.
And just in case he performs that piece anywhere else, I don't want to spoil it.
Right.
He may even like put it up on a blag or something. But
right.
Don't look at me like that. XKCD. Educate yourself.
yes.
What? Yeah. You know.
Look, it's on the internet. It must be true.
A blag.
Go on.
Well, it's like a blog, but it's a blag.
Okay, what does that mean?
It's an XKCD joke.
Okay, but I don't know what it means.
That's it. That is the meaning.
Do you have a tissue over there?
Yes.
Thank you.
Genuinely, that is the meaning.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
You have all the information available to you. Salsa.
So if you have access to Google, and
I'm not.
Okay. It was an inside joke created by this extraordinarily popular webcomic.
I'm familiar with XKCD. Okay. I'm just not going to surf through billions of years of XKCD there are.
Yeah. Google does it for you. That's the entire point of Google.
So, good. Anyway. But yeah, just in case he wants to put it up on a blag, I don't want to pee in his Cheerios.
That's Cheerios. Fair.
Yeah.
But
no, everybody's was really good, and of course,
and there was a really good turnout.
Yeah. Yes.
For like
Shit,
dude! They had to bring out extra chairs.
Well, because they did it on instead of doing it on the full proscenium, they did that on like the Beat Poet stage. That's outside in the little cafe, which is perfect for that kind of thing.
Right.
And the crowd filled it. They had to bring in more chairs, and it was full.
So, and I believe there's going to be another one of those in December.
Can I change my answer? Because there was a burlesque.
Oh my god, the performance! Piece. Yeah,
I'm going to allow it.
I don't remember her stage name, so I'm not going to say her real name. Because I don't.
It was Paradox.
Paradox, thank you.
Yeah, Paradox was really good. I mean, no Jason Voorhees. But still good.
Oh, thank God. Oh. Oh. Oh, God.
That was the worst part is, like, this beautiful performer is doing this amazing burlesque thing, and the only thing that I can think that entire time.
Yep. No, I did that, too.
Yep.
And I cried a little bit inside.
Yeah. Some performers will ruin your childhood. Only Matt Alex can ruin the future. That's the...
I haven't even seen this, and I could have told you, man.
Oh my god!
Oh, yep.
Oh,
it's real good. So, there was that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much the only other thing I did outside of Fest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I've been up to too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh.
Aside from personal matters.
Yes.
I'm going to make that sound like I've got a lot going on in my life.
No, by personal matters, she means like eating breakfast. And
basically,
when I say personal matters, I usually mean going to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Pooping.
I mean sex. I don't...
You have sex in the bathroom?
Sometimes.
Don't you?
I mean, usually the shower.
I mean,
I'm not.
Now that you mention it, I do.
Right.
Okay.
Jesus Christ. Don't look at me like I'm some weirdo.
Seriously.
Fuck. I'm shitting. What?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're not using the front end when you're shitting.
I don't want to make this joke. I'm just not going to. I refuse.
In one end and out the other? Is that what
you mean? Oh, no. Wow!
But that's—I was gonna say the inverted Blumpkin, but
no,
that's
no.
Or like reverse.
I mean, I did this to myself.
Cowgirl.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Not the sex act.
No,
just the
absolutely.
No.
Yes.
Sex act. I want to make that clear.
You said those hateful words.
Yeah.
And
yeah, because if you do it to yourself, then it's a mud pie.
God damn it!
Nobody wants this.
No.
Some people want this.
Everyone was warned.
Jenna wants this, apparently.
I said I didn't want to make this joke.
Thereby forcing us to make you make that joke.
I mean...
Is it?
Yes.
You did this to myself.
Welcome to the sex.
No, that also didn't happen.
You apparently didn't buckle up.
Buckle up.
Buckle up for the science.
For the live sex.
Buckle up for the mud pie.
Whoa! No. God. No.
Whoa.
No.
Nope.
Nope.
Now, okay.
I'm
so
gonna nope
we can print
right
them
the fuck
on
out
shower
of that.
Mats. Can we print them on the little fancy carpets that go around the base of the toilet and collect nothing
yes.
but pee?
I wish. Unfortunately, ew. I'm sure you could take a bath mat and cut it.
Smacks of effort.
Oh yeah. No.
Although.
Yeah. No.
Never mind.
So sex.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
other rooms, other yeah. than the bedroom or the bathroom.
Other than the bedroom yeah. or the bathroom.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I could tell a Bill sex story.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to stop. And I think I've told it on this yes. podcast before.
Okay.
Yeah.
But all of those podcasts no longer exist.
No, you told it since then, too.
Oh, have I really?
Yeah. This is the.
Oh. Yeah,
the
that
shelf
one.
One. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, then maybe I won't tell it.
I was, okay. I think it was my second episode.
Oh.
You're welcome to tell it. It's a good story.
Yeah, but that's recent, so we can
yeah,
just
we don't,
skip
we
that.
Don't, we want, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And
yeah,
stuff like that.
So we're just going to allude to it an awful yeah. lot for a few more moments
yeah.
before
oh, yeah.
we move on.
It was a great story.
It's a fantastic yeah. story. It's hilarious.
So,
like everything Bill did.
I mean, we okay. Yeah. So here's yeah. the thing. Yeah. We've got a little bit of time invested in this episode.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I have something that I want to say.
Okay.
So a good friend of ours, Jeff, is getting married in a few months.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they sent out with their wedding invitation mm-hmm. was the little RSVP card.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And on the back of the RSVP card, there was a little space. And it said, on this space, write a joke or a recipe or words of wisdom or something like that.
Okay.
And in joking with Jeff over the past weekend, we hit upon the idea that I was just going to reply on the back of that was all it was going to say was a podcast number and a timestamp. So that timestamp is now. And now, how about we all say something about or to Jeff, and we can have some jokes or say something witty and meaningful if you want, but now is the time to do that.
Okay, here's my first thing.
Yep. Wonderful.
Okay.
What she means is that she always cries at weddings.
Yep. Yes, that's what's happening here.
Uh-huh.
I got to work, do some contract work with Ridiculous Puppet Company for a while.
Hmm.
So I got to know Jeff pretty well, which is why I feel like I shouldn't say anything here.
For those of you who
kind of
for those of you who are longtime listeners of the show, by the way, this is Dr. Jeff.
Yes.
From the Ridiculous Puppet
from
Company.
From the Ridiculous Puppet Company.
That we are talking about
here. But no, he taught me everything I know about puppeteering, which he probably doesn't want to admit to, but it's accurate. So, yeah. And I just...
Kind of like being Ted Kaczynski's chemistry teacher? Is that...
Pretty much.
Too soon? I don't...
I mean, not here, but... I've known Jeff for like quite a while now. And I have in fact sternum raped him, so I kind of feel like I'm gonna tell that story
that
real quick.
Okay.
We were working front gate a couple years back and he and I are both like massive freeze babies.
Yeah.
So I decided it would be great fun to warm my hands against Jeff. Usually his neck, because
okay.
it's the easiest spot to find, right?
Sure.
And he would scream like a little girl. Like, actually like a little girl.
Yeah.
Then come back for more, which was bizarre, but whatever. at one point, I just shoved my hand, my freezing cold hand, down his shirt, and he goes, sternum rape! Sternum rape! That will always be a fond memory that I have. I've also gotten to know his lovely fiance.
Mm-hmm.
I have done wine and painting with her and other like game night party type stuff with her, and she is fantastic. And I don't know. Like, if I had met them separately, I don't know that I would have ever paired them together. But seeing them together, I can't picture them not together. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Because she's, like, pretty and smart and... I mean, Jeff is...
Gets his sense of humor.
Yeah, and like, tolerates him. Yep. And Jeff is just... I don't know. I mean, he's sweet. He's a nice guy.
He's okay.
He's fairly attractive. He's got those puppeteering arms. Like, you know, that's...
He proposed to my wife before I did.
Yeah.
But he was drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not wrong.
No.
Right. No, I mean, it was a wise decision either way. But no, like, just the personality types are so, they're it's like complementary colors.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah.
Yeah, like they're opposites, but they go together, and it's delightful. And I am super happy that the two of them have found each other, and they're adorable together, and they work well.
So, the suggestions that they had were for jokes or a recipe. And this being Jeff, I...
Oh, and I actually said a nice thing. God fucking damn it!
One of the suggestions was a recipe. And so here I am, the recipe for Jaffa Cakes at home.
Yes.
For the jelly, 135-gram packet of orange jelly.
Oh.
5 fluid ounces of boiling water and 1 small orange... Finely grated zest only. For the sponge, unsalted butter for greasing, 1 large free-range egg, 1 ounce caster sugar, and 1 ounce self-raising flour. For the topping, 6 1/4 ounces plain chocolate, about 36% solid. For the jelly, break the jelly into pieces and place in a small bowl. Pour over the boiling water and stir until the jelly is completely dissolved. Add the orange zest, then pour into a shallow 20 by 30 centimeter tray. Chill in the fridge for an hour until set. Meanwhile, preheat the oven to 160 degrees Celsius and grease a 12-hole shallow bun tin with butter. For the sponge, whisk the egg and sugar together for 4 or 5 minutes until pale and fluffy, then gently fold in the flour. Fill each well in the bun tin 3/4 full, about a dessert spoonful per hole, and smooth the tops. Bake for 7 to 9 minutes or until well risen and the top of the sponge springs back when lightly pressed. Leave to cool in the tray for a few minutes, then finish cooling on a wire rack. To assemble, break the chocolate into pieces, then melt in a bowl set over a pan of gently simmering water. Remove the bowl from the heat and leave to cool and thicken slightly. Turn the jelly out to a sheet of non-stick baking parchment. Cut 12 discs from the orange disc. Sit 1 jelly disc on top of each sponge. Spoon the melted chocolate over the jelly discs. And you may need to reheat the chocolate if it starts to set. And there you have homemade Jaffa Cakes, Jeff. Ooh. I hope you appreciate that recipe.
Indeed.
James?
I was going to say... something nice, right?
But right,
and then a super dumb joke that I just wrote.
Okay.
Like just wrote. By the way, when you said free range eggs, I just imagined like a little egg.
I know, right? Skipping, like with a little egg
skipping through the tall grasses, collecting flowers.
What was that?
Sheldon.
From I'm there.
Garfield.
Garfield and Friends.
Yep, yeah.
Yep. So that. But, Jeff is, like, one of the nicest people that I know, but he's also, like, kind of a weird dude. Awesome. Super, super awesome. But kind of a weird dude. Like, if I had to draw an outline of him, he'd be a little square and have some, like, sticky-outy weird knobby bits. Right. So, that has not made a ton of sense to
me. Unless you know him.
Right. It's like, how do you categorize this person? Until I saw him with his significant other, and I realized that they together make a two-piece puzzle. They just interlock and form a complete picture. So there's that. But then also the super dumb joke. What do you call a female lamb who's into BDSM?
Wait, repeat that. What?
What do you call a female lamb?
Okay.
Who's into BDSM? Female sheep, I guess. I didn't want to say you, because then that's like you had a date like that once, but you know, I don't want to.
I mean, I did.
Yeah. Right.
Tell us.
Especially BDSM.
Mutton for punishment.
Oh, God.
Mutton.
No. No.
For punishment.
Okay.
No. No, you don't need to repeat it.
Yep. I wrote it. I wrote it on the paper.
Okay. I'm so...
All right.
Right
you,
there.
You did. It's right. Yep. Uh-huh. It says
ladies and gentlemen.
Mutton for punishment.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for allowing this brief interlude into our podcast to fulfill a stupid joke that I came up with last weekend. But damn it, we were going to do it at that point.
Mission complete.
Mission accomplished.
Yay.
Jeff, we love you. We wish you as many years as humanly possible. To both of you, and have a long and happy life together, and we love you both.
Yes.
All right, back to the podcast. What were we talking about? Sex, that's right.
Dick jokes and farting.
Yep. Sex in various rooms of the house.
Weirdly, not me. But I did find it funny.
You know, the kitchen always seems like the sexiest place to have sex, and it's never...
It never is. No.
You bang your head against the refrigerator.
There is an exception. When you have gotten done doing the dishes, and your significant other is so turned on that sex has to happen.
Immediately.
And traveling 5 feet into the next room is not enough.
Yes. And don't get me wrong, that's good, but not necessarily that's good in many different places.
It's not
places.
Optimal.
No. But that's what I'm saying is.
How do you do the dishes somewhere else?
Not necessarily the dishes, but that moment where you can't wait. Wherever you're at, that's where you're at.
Yeah.
However, just like as a thought experiment, you go, which room of the house would you want to have sex in, other than the bedroom?
The bedroom
and the living room is so obvious because you just have couches and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. So I feel like a lot of people go the kitchen because the kitchen is a pretty kinky...
A lot of people try to mix food and sex, and that's a mistake all over.
Depending on the food, don't get
if
me
you
wrong.
Prepare
but,
appropriately.
But I feel like the kitchen is kind of people's go-to because it's just kinky enough to be fun, and then you actually try it, and you're like, no, there's no.
The floor is hard. The cabinets are unforgiving.
Yeah, the table. God. You're like, I gotta eat off of this.
that's
kind
dining
of the
room. Yeah, well, kind of the
touché. but
good.
Like, I don't know about your kitchen, but my kitchen's dirty.
It's dirty, dirty kitchen.
Yeah, it's
needs.
No, but it's like every time we've been like, we should do. We look around the kitchen, go no.
I did have a friend of mine. Well, a friend, whatever. A lover of mine.
A paramour.
Yes. From behind while I was doing dishes, and that was. Yep.
Somebody once told me that...
I think I'm blushing.
She would wear nothing but an apron when she was, like, doing...
Yep.
Like, if she really wanted her fiancé to get home and then just go at it. Like, if she was in the mood, she would just be in the kitchen doing stuff just in that apron.
Right.
Oh.
I have that mental image.
The French maid thing going on.
Not even a French maid apron, although, I mean, like, definitely a French maid apron, but, like, just an apron?
Right.
Just, like, a gingham apron or, like, one with little print cupcakes or...
Yeah. I mean, I was in
things.
Sweats, so that...
I mean...
If
you work it...
The problem is I do the dishes in our house.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it really took you from.
Have you tried doing it in just an apron? Kids are with my sisters.
Yeah. Anyway.
No. Anyway, that just struck my mind because it's like that's actually a terrible, not fun.
There is one thing that I will say for the kitchen.
Oh.
That the counters are a perfect height.
Not for
until you bang your head on the cabinet above it. I've done that one.
Our counters are very much not the right height.
Your counters are
waist
a little
height.
Not their counters. Go check later.
All right.
Yeah. No. Our
they might be waist height for you.
Possibly.
They're a little on the taller side.
That's why you put. There's a.
I know.
Okay.
I get it.
Okay.
Just trust me on this one. Our cabinets are not the right height.
End of story. Okay, all right.
This is why you always need to have a
new
kitchen
island. If you ever want a new kitchen table, fuck the old one into pieces.
Well, yeah, naturally.
I'm just like, honey, I think we need a new table.
After you make sure it's clean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which can be done in a very gallant gesture.
Okay. How good a job, how clean were those dishes? Because I feel like your concentration is probably not all there.
I mean...
Oh.
That wasn't really...
During.
Yeah, no, because I'm doing dishes.
I'm guessing shit got
and
broken.
And being done while doing dishes.
Yeah. Right.
No, nothing got broken. Like, I got distracted.
Yeah.
And
the phrase dishpan hand job just came into my mind.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, they're like prunes. Oh god, I mean, yes.
First of all, it wasn't a large amount of dishes.
Okay.
All right. Like, I was cleaning up after a meal.
Dear listener, this is how you know that I've been married for a long time, is she's talking about this, and I'm going, but what about the dishes?
Tell
me how sparkling they were.
The dishes.
Slowly.
The dishes. I was not worried about
the state of the dishes
because I was a little focused on the state of the dishes.
Then why keep
also
doing
possibly
them?
Him. Because it adds salsa. You don't understand.
No, I don't.
It's the fucking theater of the thing. Why do you talk in between swallowing shit out at Fest? Because it adds to the act.
That whoa!
We are. You're watching a different act than I was. What am I doing? What
whoa. Part of it is whoa. Part of? It is part There's, of the theater of what you're doing.
Okay, so here's the thing.
I'm
the
joking.
The mental distraction. Okay. Oh, if you're joking, then I'll stop describing this.
No. I could stand to hear more. Are you kidding?
God damn it. Okay, so like a mental distraction thing that's happening while you're trying to focus on something else.
Yeah.
Which means that when somebody's doing other things to you to distract you from that particular task, and you spend more time focusing on the other task than focusing on the other task, there becomes a kind of like a back and forth tension thing that builds. To the point that you can no longer focus on
Plus it's a competition
one of those
now.
Tasks. Right.
Yeah.
There's a tension
no,
and a build.
No, you will
and
pay attention
else.
To this.
yeah, and that's how that's sexy, and that's why I had to do my dishes
Until the
twice.
Pizza peel starts getting used as a paddle. And then...
No, I'm taking notes here. This is what's happening.
Oh.
I don't know what you were thinking, but I'm taking notes.
Yeah, all right.
And my wife Salsa said he has a dishwasher.
Look, you still have to scrub them.
There's still
you got to get the bits of food
off
of it. Yeah. Super sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
There have been a few times in my life where past being a teenage person that sex was so necessary that it had to happen and that place had to be located quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Once outside of a closed garden center. Once in the back of the tiny little race car that I used to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Which is... It was a...
Is it smaller than your current vehicle?
Yes, it is.
Why do you drive tiny cars? I find it adorable.
I don't know.
Just like tiny cars, suddenly large man jumps
this one,
up.
This one actually has a surprising amount of headroom.
James is kind of a clown.
That is true. From you, that is a compliment.
I was about to say,
The Celica had a half seat in back. Yeah, so it was an acrobatic thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that, and then
I know acrobats too. So
there was one time where we had guests, and we had to go into the bathroom, and turn the water on. Because our guest had been over for days.
You fooled no one.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
No. And that conversation happened. I was like, you know what? I think they know exactly what we're doing. And she was like, I don't fucking care. Take off your pants.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. At that point.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Pants
there was
off.
There was the one day not too long ago where
when dinosaurs roamed.
I know, right? Where like I left the house and she was she hadn't even gotten dressed yet.
Yeah.
Like she had just rolled out of bed. She was wearing nothing but a bathrobe.
Mm-hmm.
And I made some comment to her about, you know, being sexy and how difficult it was to leave, and then I got to work and we proceeded to text back and forth.
Oh shit.
Oh.
And then I sent a message to everyone at work that, and I said, something's come up, I need to take a long lunch. And I did.
Factual. entirely factual.
That was
because
that was just like driving down the road, just pushing the speed limit, like how just don't get pulled over, and then like haphazardly parking the car and running inside, and clothes are already off by the time I hit the back door. Like just it's like that. Yeah.
I feel compelled by my lizard hindbrain to get a high five.
No, you're just not happening.
From somebody. I'm
you can fist bump.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I have also done the nooner.
Yeah,
as it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are nice.
There's
something about that where it's just like I can't focus on work right now.
There was a lover of mine that happened to work in the same area I worked.
Mm.
So nice. Not only did we just sometimes go out for lunch, sometimes we also went out for lunch. And I this also happened to be when I worked at a place that was only a couple miles away from my house. So that was convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, highly recommended, dear
listeners.
Oh,
my God. If you're having a stressful day.
If you have a significant other who, you know, either works at home or works near you or something like that, and you can coordinate an afternoon delight, do that.
Oh, my God, yes.
That's like even pretty great.
Somebody that I'm seeing, I was sending messages back and forth, and we weren't going to see each other until, like, 9 at night. Ugh. And then I was like, you know what? I have an hour immediately after work.
Yep.
Let's do this.
All right. So, sex advice from AON.
Yeah.
We should probably take a break.
Buckle up for the sex.
Yeah. I need a cigarette after all of this. Are you kidding?
All right. We're going to go have a cigarette. Oh. And you should too. Yeah. And
we're going to Eiffel Tower that cigarette.
Yeah,
we're going to Lady in the Trumpet.
We're gonna be right back.
I can't. Can you smoke both sides?
We're going to try.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back. I am Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And now that we've talked about non-fest stuff for
so
a while.
I'm so horny right now. Oh, my God.
Let's talk about fest stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to remain horny.
All right. Me too, probably.
Yeah. I have something that might kill boners.
Oh, yay.
Good.
You're welcome.
Question mark?
No, my favorite moment this fest was with Sigourney. For the children's feast.
Yes.
Yes.
I heard.
Didn't
about
see
this.
Where you were going until just now.
Just now, and I mean, so yeah. One of the difficulties that Sigourney has with doing the children's feast is that we're, you know, belly dancers. which are often sexualized, right? Kind of.
Yeah.
Frequent, that's kind of a part of the thing.
Huh.
Yeah, surprise, that happens. So for the children's feast, we're like, we don't want to be sexualized during the children's feast.
Yeah,
that's not okay. For the past few children, we've tried to, like, cover up more. Mm-hmm. We've pulled out, like, different props, things like that. Cecilia, Gwen's daughter.
Not those kinds of props.
Oh, my God. Gwen's daughter, who is, she's, like, what, 15, 16 now?
13, I think.
I thought she was older than that. Okay. she does some dancing, some sword balancing work. Mm-hmm. That is really incredible. We've had like the unicorn come dance with us and some other things like that, right? So, the ladies of Sigourney, many of us have become fans and kind of it's kind of trending in the Sigourney community, I guess. Kigurumi.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody loves those.
For those who don't know, it's animal onesies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, straight up, that's what it is. With little hoods, with the faces of the animals on them.
I saw the picture. They're adorable.
many of us have them. And Gwen, as brilliant as she is, was like, what if we wore those for the children's feast? And we would be dancing animals. And
it's great for the kids and confusing for the adults.
Yes. No, it was just fun all around. Good. It was like we come out and we're like, yeah, we're going to dance for you now. And this is going to be fun. And it was because it was I don't want to say dancing animals is a ridiculous concept.
Hmm.
It's kind of a ridiculous concept, though.
Sure.
And yeah, so we did this and
Fantasia has taught me that it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a blast. We got everybody into one. Including all of the drummers.
Everybody into their own.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Not one overall.
I mean, it may have belonged to somebody else, but each person had an individual...
Right.
...kigurumi assigned to them.
It wasn't like one giant horrifying tiger or something.
Oh my God, I want to do that next year. That's so bad. No, but we did this and like one of our drummers was a giraffe. And like just all... It was fantastic. It was so much fun. We come out... And it's just play, and we didn't have to worry about like covering up, and we didn't have to worry about our moves being over sexual because we've got like tails,
yeah,
and like just all this. It was fantastic. It was such a great
time.
Sounds
pretty adorable.
And then afterwards, I just I wear my red panda onesie because I fucking love red pandas, and I afterwards like I wanted to catch the rest of Ville, but I didn't think I could like go over to Ville. To watch it in a kigurumi like that,
dressed as a red panda.
As a red panda, like I'm willing to push the envelope, but maybe not that far. But what I did was I hung out on the Bad Manor balcony in my kigurumi, and I can hear everything from there.
Sure, sure, good,
because of how the sound travels. So I just took a red panda like lying on a branch kind of pose. And I got to be a red panda on Bad Manor balcony.
Nice.
And pretend to be sleeping while listening to Vilification Tennis. And that was amazing.
Good.
And delighted me. And that happened to be the day that BJ was out. Ooh. And I did not know BJ was doing Vil that day. And so I was extra glad that I got to catch it. Yeah.
Yeah, special guests.
That is... Yep. That is what I was going to talk about.
Well, you're very welcome.
Well, we can segue into that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in that case, sweet seg. Vilification Tennis. Chris and BJ, also known as the Pogue Mahone team, which is Gaelic for kiss my ass, by the way.
Huh.
Scandalous.
I know, right? Made their triumphant return.
Hooray!
They haven't vilified in, I want to say, like 7 or 8 years now.
Something like that. A very long time.
Been a while.
They're old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What just happened there, James? No.
I don't know why it seemed like it would be so much, but it just made me sad.
Yep.
Okay. I know.
Especially since this is your first year, and Jenna and I have both been doing this at least 15 years.
Just made me sad.
So, you'll get there someday.
Aww.
But I got to vilify against Pogue Mahone with my partner Lori, and Lori and I were both giddy like schoolgirls.
Yeah.
slash schoolboys. I was the schoolgirl. She was the schoolboy.
Right.
Obviously.
Before the match, because holy shit, you guys. Back in the day, Pogue Mahone was like one of the premier teams out there. They were, I mean, BJ, BJ is by far one of the funniest vilifiers.
And he has more insults than anybody.
Than anyone.
A Q-tip, fucking chill the fuck out. You're never going to reach him.
No, no. BJ has unlimited numbers of jokes. And the hardest part for him is to figure out which one to say. But they went up against Lori and I, and we beat them.
You guys did fantastically.
We definitely held our own. And I mean, part of it is because they haven't done it in 7 or 8 years,
right?
So there's a lot of rust to shake off there, obviously. But no, it was a super super fun round. Everybody was on absolutely a game for that match, and it was a super super fun match. Everybody, it was not one sided at all. Everybody, you know, getting laughs on both sides, and everybody was.
No, I heard some stuff that I had not heard before from you and Lori.
Yeah, also. we were pulling out old school jokes. That's as amazing. Well. Like we talked about it before. We're like, oh man, we've got to say jokes that we used to say against these guys.
Dust off the old stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and literally, I was saying jokes I haven't said in a decade. And
great.
Yeah, no, and so it was super super fun. that's probably the highlight of the weekend for me was being able to do that again.
You know, it's BJ's fault that I'm in Ville, right?
Mm, that bastard.
Well, he was I was dating him, and he was like, "You need to try out for Ville," and I was like, "I don't know." And we were staying in his camper that year. This was 2001. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I came up with an insult, and I wrote it down. Mm-hmm. And I went back to sleep. I wake up the next morning, and I'm like, BJ, I came up with an insult last night. And it was the Vikings insult, actually.
Oh, wow.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I was like, I came up with an insult.
From there, a legend was born.
And he was like, cool, I came up with 6. And I'm like, fuck you. Like, yeah, number one, like he's just that good. But he was like, you realize you have to audition now. I'm like, he's like, no, you're going to audition for Ville now. Good. You're coming up with insults in your sleep. Like, this is just the next thing that happens. Yeah. Like, this is what you do. I'm like...
And just think, like 3 or 4 of us would be totally fucking out of luck if it wasn't for you. And if it wasn't for that moment.
I've gotten 5 amateurs into the show at least.
Uh-huh.
Possibly 6.
Yeah, 3
depending
3 or 4.
On how you count.
Yeah. He's the,
that's fair.
He's the God vilifier. Anyway,
yeah.
So yeah. But yeah, BJ's amazing.
Also,
yes.
Vilification Tennis Feast.
Oh, yes.
Oh my God, yes. Oh, we all did that.
Yeah.
That was sexy as fuck.
That is fucking cool. So for those of you who do not know, the Feast of Fantasy at the Renaissance Festival it's quite pricey. It's pretty steep, but worth every penny. Because what you get in the Feast of Fantasy is it 5-course meal?
5 or 6, depending.
5 or 6 course meal by, like...
I think it was 5 and a dessert.
By actual chefs.
Yeah.
So you are getting really... Oh, it does depend, yeah. You are getting really fucking good meals, because these are trained chefs. And... in between courses, you get just a spattering of entertainment. Entertainers come from all over the place.
Well, it was definitely a spattering.
but there are. I do an appearance in one of the feasts, and Signe dances in all of the feasts.
Like, you might get anywhere from like 7 to 10 acts.
Yeah.
Over the course,
and
of
they range from Fondazzi show up for some, and the the acrobats show up for some, and you get comedians and poets,
and you get belly dancers
and belly
every
dancers
show,
and so it's this grab bag of entertainment while you eat this amazingly good food.
And it is really good food. We're not, like, I think the main entree, they have, like, one or two entrees, again, mm-hmm. depending on the feast.
Yeah.
The main entree this year is duck.
Yeah.
Just, and I don't mean like fake duck.
Oh, yeah,
I mean
no, shit. Yeah. Super good. I had a piece.
And
yeah.
Holy shit.
It was, and they had like this wild rice pilaf thing that was
The roasted vegetables.
Yeah.
Yep.
Were amazing.
So you get
a beet salad this year. Was, they've got a
and
soup.
And they fill your wine mug to overflowing. Yep. And at the end of it, you get to take home your goblet.
They say if you can remember it.
Yeah. So I mean, this feast is you spend a pretty penny on it, but you get
so much.
Oh my god!
It is
everything.
Worth the money if you are able to drop.
Absolutely,
You get a Disney cruise worth of food and entertainment in
2 to 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So one of the Feast of Fantasies, they have a few times every run they have themed Feast of Fantasies, and one of the themes is Vilification Tennis, in which Vilification Tennis takes over the feast.
Yeah,
and we basically, our job at that point is to
shit on
wreak
their
havoc. Our job is to create as much chaos as we can get away with and still be entertaining to the audience.
Oh.
And I think we succeeded in those points. We created so much chaos and people were laughing their ass off.
Oh my God.
And not even like during the Vil rounds, it was really good. We had great audience participation in on that. Mm-hmm. And that was fantastic. But like between when we were just mingling with them, we were making them laugh pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, Vil Feast is one of my favorites because I can literally walk down the row with a fork and just eat food off of other, like, diners' plates, and they just laugh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, I'm just walking down the row eating rice and potatoes off of everybody's plates, and they're offering me more. And it's, and we're all having a good time. And
by the way, Eric's puppy dog face... Holy shit.
Right? Holy fuck. How do you say
no
to that?
Holy crap.
And then, like, the court revelers came in and did their thing, and while they were singing their song, we were dancing with them poorly because we don't know the moves, so we were just making it up as we went. And like I said, just creating chaos.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple of moments from that.
Awesome. Go ahead.
The first one, I got to vilify with salsa again.
Yay.
Yeah, gypsy trash back. Woo!
Good times. Yeah.
That was a really good round.
It was pretty.
Yeah,
it was
a lot of fun.
We fucking owned that shit.
Damn right.
We also moved around, which was great. Well, because we have a set established how do we move and how do we balance against each other from when we were partners. So, that was fantastic.
It's just like falling off a bicycle.
Yep.
And the dynamic in there is so different because at the Bryant Lake Bowl or on the Bear stage, you have a very small stage to work with. And the feast hall is huge.
Yeah.
So there's a whole different set of rules as far as movement and how to own the stage.
Which kind of dovetails into my next story. So not only during the Vil Feast am I doing vilification tennis, I'm also doing Sigourney.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were in the hall while Sigourney was planning the drum solos.
Yep.
Right?
Whoa.
Salsa knows exactly what I'm talking about now because he's filled in a couple times for us. So we get to the drum solo section. Well, first I get in there and I'm like, ladies and gentlemen, we are Sigourney. This has nothing... I know I'm right here, and you just saw me shout awful things, but no, this has nothing to do with the rest of the feast. Like, I have to draw that line for the ladies, because they do get sexualized so much that once we have one of the feasts where the audience gets really riled up, I gotta be like, okay, but seriously, dude, don't fuck with these girls.
Yeah,
right.
Like,
This is a look and shut your mouth show.
And I mean, we love it when they clap along and pound and cheer and all the rest of that. But yeah, it is definitely a don't ask for a dick joke during the dance.
Right.
But we get to the part where there's the solos and they all look at me and I'm like, I was in here. Somebody else start this. I don't know what's going on. They're like, oh, right. And they just start drumming. I'm like, all right, cool. This is where we're going. I know exactly what we're doing now.
Because usually Jenna leads that part.
Kind of. It depends on who's around. And I was so grateful that the people were there that could pick up on that for me. My drummers are fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love the rest of my drumming group and the dance. Yeah. Anyway, but my third story from that, because I am a proud mama, is during the first vill round at the feast. James, you were a part of that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who won that?
Yeah. Gosh, I wonder. You know, I didn't have to visit the Privs for a little while, but I think word around them is probably the same.
Yeah,
did
you vilify against my daughter?
Yeah, I made that mistake again, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Did she win again?
Yeah.
Again?
With a handicap, too. Like, right. She was paired up with Eric Knight.
And she still kicked your ass.
Yeah, no, that was fantastic, though.
Yeah.
Oh man.
That was fantastic. But
I got to vilify with Q-Tip. It was wonderful.
Aw.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
I was looking forward to vilifying with anyone one of those three people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the part that's ridiculous about that. So there were three cheerleaders. Three drunk cheerleaders.
Actual cheerleaders.
Actual cheerleaders. Yep. Like that's what they do, is they're cheerleaders. And they decided my daughter was their favorite. And, you know, they're trying to rile up crowds and things like that. And these cheerleaders are like, we're on this. And they just start chanting her character name.
Yep.
Bella, Bella, Bella. And, like, fucking the entire group was like, yeah, we're cheering for that chick.
Yeah.
Which I think, I mean, she was going to hand your ass to you anyway.
Right. Yeah.
But that was...
You know, that just added a little.
It really solidified the whole deal. But when we were doing Second Feast, about halfway through, these drunk cheerleaders just started cheering again. Bella, yeah. Bella.
Well, it was right at a moment where somebody, I don't remember who, said a joke that missed.
Yes.
And so and so it was that kind of like moment, and then they were like, Bella, Bella, and it was fucking.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Those girls are so on. They were so fucking on.
And then that was the game for the rest of rest of the show. Whenever there was a whiff, it was Belle.
So yeah, I felt like I did good in that show, but I'm extra mom proud. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
As well you should be.
Vill Feast is always a good time. When the audience gets it.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Because that is the danger. Is these tickets get sold sometimes with the people not realizing what they're getting into.
Right.
And the vilification tennis feast is, of course, we go a little overboard sometimes, and we have gotten letters about it. So I think this year we hit that note just right, where the audience went with us and we didn't cross the line.
The audience dragged us.
Yeah.
They did.
This year
we were like, we're at a three. They're like, we already want 10. Yeah. What? Get there, bitches.
What do you have that's higher than 10?
So
11?
I doubt we'll get any letters this year. The audience wanted to go with us, and we had a great time, and it was super, super good. What else?
I had a couple of moments from that.
Yeah.
I actually have a couple of vilification moments that I can cover whenever. Just from Fest in general.
We'll go ahead and hit the vill moments and then move on to...
So during the feast, aside from getting a couple of moments where the entire crowd around me just erupted, which felt really good.
Mm. Especially, like, this is in the round, like, in a very specialized spot, so...
Yeah, because they instead of just letting the audience appreciate it and letting them pick who they want to cheer for, they actually divide them out into teams.
Yeah.
And then you are trying to represent your end of the hall.
Which your end of the hall at the beginning was like, fuck you, assholes.
Right,
like, it was like, us to what?
They did not want... Because, I get it. I know what Q-Tip and I look like. We look like assholes.
I mean...
They're not wrong. Against your daughter and Eric, who's a feeble old man, and that's whom I love. I do, but it's That was a rocky start, but like especially there were one or two jokes that I had that 100% did not land, but then there were some that just hit hard and fast, and I knew that it was good when the other end of the hall had to stifle themselves and then start booing. That was when it felt great.
But, yes.
Yeah, hearing that roar behind me was was great.
It's incredible in there when in the feast hall when you're doing a show in there, mm-hmm. when you've got everybody just cheering for you or booing for you, even whatever, you've got everybody in there reacting to you and you can feel them in the palm of your hand. It is the most amazing experience ever. Mm. And I get to do that 2 to 3 times a day.
Yeah. Right. It's amazing. Feast is a good time.
But then you miss all the other stuff.
I mean, yeah. But then, now you know why.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Also, this was my first feast ever, which was amazing.
Have you ever been like bent to a feast? Oh.
No, never.
Okay, we're sneaking you upstairs to see the Sunday afternoon show.
So then, in between when we were mingling, I broke Kirky.
Yes.
We were just like talking loose and fast with people over in one of the corners. And she was like, yeah, and I had coffee. And so now, blah, blah, blah. In a couple of minutes, you fuckers are going to regret it. And I was like, and in a half an hour, the Pribs will. And she did not expect that.
Yes.
Apparently, and she started laughing. And then the people in the corner caught up and started laughing. And then I told them a Prib story. So that was...
Oh, God.
Exciting.
Like Priv specific, or is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Like I was walking out of a Priv behind the fencing booth and jousters relaxation area and everything like that, and bumped into somebody that I knew who I had not seen in like 5 years or so. So she kind of recognized me, and we were like, "Oh, hey!" And for whatever reason, I just felt compelled to be like, "Sorry." That you're about to walk into that. I've never had to plunge a Priv before.
Oh, God.
And So I told the people in the corner were already laughing, but then I trotted that old gem out, that old chestnut, and they were very, very pleased with that.
Nice.
Yeah. It felt good.
Excellent.
It felt good. But then just in general, just the atmosphere of the feast was great.
Fucking love being there. Cool. You had other stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Back when we were ruling the front gate, I wanted to talk about Nick Beefcake. And I was trying to figure out what the fuck I was going to do when I wasn't taking tickets. And when I was taking tickets, I came up with like, acting as if it was somebody's passport, because we've got Fabio Gyllenhaal on there as Rita, the character Rita calls him, Fabio Gyllenhaal, Photoshop child. And so I'll look at that, and I'll look at the person who's handing me the ticket, and I'll go, this doesn't look anything like you. whose passport is this? And then just fuck with him. A little bit. Nice. As long as it's slow enough to really, you know, dig in.
Yeah. Yeah. If you got lines, just get
people
through.
Then you just get them through. Right. Yeah. But then the other thing was Beefcake and I came up with something while we were standing out front where we would ask people how many people were in their party.
Sure.
And then ask them if they wanted smoking or non-smoking.
Yes.
And hand it, and we would be carrying the little programs as if they were menus and like handing them out. And it was, okay, well, would you like a high top or a booth and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then, it's a little crowded at the moment, so can we just seat you at the bar? And in which case, you know, almost all of the adults are like, yes, please. Yes.
Ha, 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 ha. Hilarious.
Yes, your coaster will buzz.
Good end joke.
Yeah. Right, and it's a solid way to part that interaction and just walk them over to the door, that kind of thing. They get a good laugh out of it, but there's always that like initial confusion, which is really rewarding.
I gotta say, you were doing that, and I don't remember if I talked about this last time, but you pointed a group towards me. And I remember, like, they get to me, and I'm like, oh, yes, we'll take care of you here, blah, 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 blah. And they get to me, and the next thing you probably heard was, Squire.
Yeah, yep.
You forgot something.
Right.
And you're like, what, was I supposed to check their bags? Like, was I, yeah. What did I forget to do? I'm like, they don't have their tickets
right,
yet.
Yeah, they had been, which was something new. I had no idea that people would come up to the front gate without any fucking tickets, but right. It makes complete sense.
Yeah, yeah, some people don't know that the ticket booth is over there, so I got you to escort them back over to the ticket booth.
Did you watch me do that, by the way?
I watched you go, but then I had more people that I took care of. So.
Because at that point, I just decided, okay, if I fucked up, this needs to be absolute comedy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I did, like, I, like, leaned all the way back and, like, flumped my arms back and, like, stared up in the sky and then, like, stormed off across. I was like, fine, this way, stormed off across and, like, kept that up the entire, like, what is it, like, a quarter mile.
As you tromped past us on the bridge.
Right. Right, and is it Angus that was standing up on the...
No, Taffy is usually
Taffy was standing up
there.
It's almost like they're twins.
Right.
But, yeah, Taffy was standing up there and, like, watched me go past, and I watched the look on his face as he was like, what the fuck is this? Yeah, it was very rewarding.
The other thing that I did this last weekend, here's a little bit of advice for those of you who are looking to get into the Renaissance Festival as a performer or something like that. Never throw anything away.
No.
Oh.
Because I discovered that a pair of old boots that I have had in the bottom of my tub for probably a decade now, with literal holes in the soles, like these boots.
They look like cartoon shoes.
Yeah, these boots are gone. These boots are dead, but I have kept them. Because on Saturday, on a whim, I decided to stop at Bad Manor and get a length of ribbon. And then I found a stick, and I proceeded.
Is that
to,
what you were doing?
Yep. And I proceeded to fish off of the bridge.
Fuck, it was
funny. And that's when I realized I need a boot. So Sunday, I grabbed my boot, and my ribbon, and my stick, and I proceeded to fish for a boot off the bridge for people.
You got
and,
super good reactions from people watching you land that boot.
The thing is full of holes, so when I hauled it out of, you know, of the water and flopped it on the bridge, water is pouring out of the lace holes and the hole in the sole, and all, and there's just water pouring out everywhere. And then I would, like, tug on the ribbon, right, and it would be like, oh, it's still twitching.
Yeah, get the
it's
oar.
Still
get
twitching.
The oar. Knock
it's
out.
Yeah, exactly. Or
at which point you, like, stomped on it a few times.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I would tell people, you know, if you use a worm, you catch a small fish. But if you use a boot as bait, you're guaranteed a foot.
Oh, God.
I know, right?
Oh. But son of a... Terrible. Okay, Kyle and now James. The two of you have been infecting this goddamn...
That's great.
My daughter told a shaggy dog. And I hold the two of you entirely responsible for this.
Yeah.
I feel like
John Solberg, and I think it was Darren Jensen, another one of the photographers, got some fantastic pictures of me sitting on the bridge, landing a boot.
Photos.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. And then Matt was there doing his pool boy routine. He made a pool skimmer out of, like, branches and sticks.
Yes.
And was skimming the leaves off of the pond.
God.
We had a good time.
And what's so frustrating is we have so many more stories.
Yeah, I know. But we should probably take another break.
Yeah.
Bum ba dum, bum ba dum.
All right, we're gonna. And I'm cutting the shit off. All right, I'll wait. Okay, now it got weird. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing.
You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
I'm so not prepared.
Too bad. And God, we're back. I am Salsa.
James is farting.
James is farting into the cabinet.
It's trying to get out. Okay.
You're I'm James. That's Jenna. Trust us on that one. And it's time for Fest 5. While Jenna is catching her breath, I will go through the spiel. For those of you who do not know, the Fast Five is, we get two emails or physical copies from our listeners, that is you. The first email contains five pairs of answers. It is
choices.
Yeah,
five choices. A, no,
wait, answers, choices, whatever sure. You want to call them. We do not know the context. All we know is we have five pairs of choices.
And I'm Jenna.
There we go. Okay. And we have to decide which one we like the better. After we have gone through all five, we open the second email and we find out what the context to those were, and we find out if we want to change our answers or if we like
who is right
and
who is dead.
Who is yes. dead?
This week, our Fast Five comes to us from Mr. Stefan Moeller.
Ooh, I like that Senpai guy. Has noticed us.
Yes. Well, he has sent him in before. Our guest from last week's episode has sent us one. And the theme on this one is gotta keep them separated.
Wow.
Do we need to go back to the first portion of the show? Because I got more stories.
No, we're on Fast Five now.
Fast Five!
Question number one.
Yes.
Pizza or beer? I think I know which one Jenna's going to say.
It's got to be pizza.
I kind of got to go with pizza, too.
I think I may...
As much as I like beer, pizza is pizza.
Well, because it really it's like, which...
How do you pay people
which
to help you move?
Which is better, room temperature or like a warm and cold kind of thing? Like
no, I'm going with how do you pay people who help you move?
Yeah, pizza.
And it is pizza.
That's a good one. Ultimately.
I like that one, pizza.
Because even before you can drink, you can go to college. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Question number two, cookies or cream? I think I know which one Jenna's going to say.
I mean,
I'm going cookies on this one.
I'm gonna go cream.
God damn
for
it.
Coffee, half and half is not cream.
Cookies.
Also, whipped cream on pie.
I know.
Senpai.
Whoa.
Cream on senpai.
We are going back to the first portion of this, aren't we?
Well, I know what we have to make for a drink.
Well, I'm
next
hard
week.
Again.
I have to figure out what a whipped cream on senpai is.
Ooh, it's gonna have that gourd drink. That
yes,
yeah.
Okay.
Question number three.
Okay.
Chip or salsa? Now, because this one is chip and not chips, I'm guessing this is chip, lime burner, or me.
Right.
In which
I like
case,
chip
I'm
way
going
better.
With me.
I mean, I see
narcissist.
You more often.
Because me.
Chip has better hair, though.
Also,
so.
Chip does have really good hair.
Yeah.
And he's from Canada, which is better, too.
Right.
And he's a really good writer, which
their
is better than
money
me,
is cooler.
But they can't deep throat like I can.
I've never asked him.
I don't know that he can't.
Right.
Also true. All right. Going to Chip on this one.
Chip for the hair. Personally.
Question number four. Bacon or eggs?
Bacon.
I'm going to commit what some would consider to be blasphemy and say eggs.
I may also say eggs.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, bacon is fairly universal overall, but put an egg on that shit.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right?
Oh,
and that's
fuck.
And that's where the difficulty comes.
That is absolutely what I have for breakfast.
I'm
going to
go with
eggs.
The more universal bacon.
Ah, shit.
I also have like a complete cast iron set, so
egg
bacon
on a burger.
Is pretty important to my cooking.
Definitely. Well, I use bacon grease for a lot of my egg cooking, but
oh, shit.
I still
egg.
Like eggs.
Egg on a juicy Lucy.
It's just so, it's so good.
Yeah, which goes better on a burger? Fuck. Which is the better additive to a burger, bacon or eggs? And I gotta say, put an egg on that.
Fuck.
Right. I mean, porque no los dos.
I know, but, right?
Eggs go in. Eggs also go into baked goods.
They do.
I mean, bacon also goes into baked goods. But eggs go into all kinds of different things. Eggs are more universal and more utile.
See, I thought bacon was more universal overall.
I think more people purport to enjoy bacon, and bacon does go on many things, but it is not the glue that holds things together.
You have not lived till you've had bacon fudge, sir.
Yeah, I have. There is that. Fudge. That's
this is happening.
Anyway, question number... That was question number four. Question number five. Coffee or donuts?
Coffee, because Truestone.
Because Truestone.
Also coffee. Donuts are good, but coffee is fucking life. Amazing.
Yeah. Do we put in a Truestone plug in the middle
yes,
of our
we
fast
do.
Five?
Yes, we
fuck
do.
Fuck yeah, we do.
It's going to be coffee, because if you want really, really, really good something to get you going in the morning, mm-hmm. you could have a donut, which is going to be full of lard and is going to sit at the bottom of your stomach.
It's going to make you
it's going to have
sleepy
panda.
And you're
going to get covered in cream and sugar. Like about a half an hour, 45 minutes
that,
later.
Uh-huh. The frosting is just lard and sugar.
You have to call your sponsor
gross.
At the gym and
exactly.
inform them that you've fallen off the donut wagon.
You just get the sweats afterwards.
Yeah.
Or you could go to TruestoneCoffee.com and enter the promo code
Apropos
and get 10% off
apropos.
And get 10% off of your order for coffee.
Yeah.
And you
and
get
not just coffee.
Amazing coffee. You get
coffee
roasted just like the day before you get it.
Yeah.
And you can get coffee beans and grind them up and make coffee yourself, or you can get cold pressed coffee in little handy 12-ounce bottles. Or you can get concentrate in a growler that you then, you know, use however you see fit.
We've been using the growler up in the dressing area.
And then you can also go buy some merchandise. You can get a nice tulip glass or a t-shirt, and that's the way to go. So clearly...
I keep one of those tulip glasses full of water next to my nightstand.
So clearly what you should do is go to truestonecoffee.com, enter the promo code...
Apropos.
Which is spelled apropos.
And then of the two... Coffee or donuts, go with coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, because you're a grown-ass adult, dip that donut in that fucking coffee.
Yeah.
All right. Here's our context.
All right. All right.
Question number one.
Yes.
Pizza or beer? Which would be worse if you were not allowed to make it yourself anymore?
I mean, beer just sucks, so I would have to go with beer.
I don't make a lot of pizza myself, so I would say beer.
I really love making beer.
I did, though.
I used to make pizza for a place, and it was good pizza.
Yeah?
I used to make like a cheeseburger pizza with a sauce.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah.
Baked potato pizza.
Mm.
Right?
Barbecue chicken pizza.
But between the two, I think... you can share the beer that you make with a lot
Actually,
more people.
Here's the thing. Which would be worse if you couldn't make it yourself?
Yeah.
Is that mm-hmm. that's the context?
Yeah.
I don't think I could make beer worse. So I'm going to stick with pizza. Mm-hmm.
I like I said, I don't make my own pizza ever, really.
Yeah.
But I do, absolutely would be fine drinking. There's a lot of amazing beer out there.
There is a lot of amazing beer.
I have I derive a great deal of enjoyment brewing beer, and that would make me very unhappy if I couldn't do it anymore.
I'm going to stick with pizza on this one.
Question number two, cookies or cream?
Yeah.
Would you better handle... Okay, Would you better handle only being able to drink your coffee black or only have bars available for dessert?
Huh.
So would you not be able to put cream in your coffee, or would
right.
you not be able to have cookies for dessert?
Well, I can't put cream in
Which
my coffee.
Which would you handle better?
Not having cookies for dessert.
I do not.
Cookies are good. Cookies are fine. But like, there are tons of different options. Bars are a good one.
Bars are really good.
Lemon bars.
And I drink my coffee black anyway, so I'm going cookies.
Yeah, I'm sticking with cookies. Yeah. I can't mm-hmm. have cream, so yeah. If the option is black, like I often drink it black because I can't have cream, and if it's actually sure. good coffee, I don't want to fuck yeah. it up with sugar.
That mm-hmm. is that is one of the things that I have been noticing about doing True Stone at work is that I don't put anything in it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been making my lattes at home because, you know.
Yeah. Those are super good,
I do
way.
Have the yeah. I have the, yeah. the almond milk, and I can just froth that shit up. But yeah, like, if I know a coffee is shitty, I will add sugar. Otherwise, I will just drink it black.
Yeah.
Sometimes with an ice cube if it's too hot.
I like to put chocolate milk in my coffee. if it's bad, if it's bad coffee, yeah, I like to put chocolate milk in it because I'm an adult. Yeah.
Make yourself a fomoka.
No, every so often when I'm at work and I'm just sick of coffee,
yeah,
I will get the little hot cocoa packets and dump yep. one of those in yeah. like it's a creamer, and you have a mocha.
I used to do that with oatmeal.
Mm.
Yeah. Coffee and hot chocolate packets in with the oatmeal.
That makes sense.
Huh.
Yeah. It's oatmeal that wakes your ass up.
I believe right. you.
Yep.
So I think we all yeah. said cookies,
I need to
right?
try that yeah. the next time I go okay. camping.
Yeah. So I was incorrect. Yeah. Cookies was the right answer.
All
right.
Yeah. That's
question number three. Yep. Chip or salsa? I had the sort of the premise right, but this is a really good question. Would you rather have Chip Limeburner or Salsa Sterling narrate your life for a day?
Oh, I want to have Chip write the narration, but yeah, Salsa that's, read it.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Interesting.
See, I think Chip would be a little too respectful.
Right.
I think I really need the...
A little too Canadian?
The sarcasm right. That I can really only get from having someone who knows me as well as you do. Like, blah, blah, blah. And then he clicked on that thing. That was a dumb mistake.
Also that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm still not sold either way, but yeah, I want Chip to write it and Salsa to narrate it.
I'm going to go with Chip because me narrating my own life seems odd.
That's kind of how it is already.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, but out loud... That would
That's kind of how it is already.
I mean, sometimes.
Plus, Chip...
That's why you have a podcast.
Plus, Chip does have that writing skills.
Yeah.
And he would be able to... Especially if he did... Ooh, if he could narrate my life in a noir style.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
Like, that would be pretty
yeah.
fucking cool.
Okay, now I'm sold.
All right, yeah. Totally Chip.
She walked into his bedroom one hip at a time. And then his wife
said... I had a date like that once.
And then his wife said, it's been a long day, and she promptly fell asleep.
Yep, I also had a date like that once.
Oh.
Yeah, I think having Chip narrate my life in a noir style would be...
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, question number four, bacon or eggs. Which is the more important ingredient when having breakfast for dinner?
Breakfast
eggs.
For dinner.
Eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Breakfast you just for have dinner, bacon all the I time think. On yeah. anything with anything.
I gotta go eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eggs makes it breakfast.
I can't cook eggs in my cast iron without the bacon, you guys. Like
You could cook a burger in there first.
Not if I'm having breakfast for
Do you
dinner.
Not save your bacon drippings?
I do. When I have them.
Because that's what I do is we save all of our bacon drippings, mm-hmm. and then once our little tin gets full, I clarify it.
Sure.
If you don't know how that works,
look it up on YouTube.
Yeah. Well, what you do is you basically dump it into a pot of water.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. you boil it for like 10 minutes, mm. and that kind of separates the fats and any bad stuff right. in there kind of kills that off, and then you strain it through cheesecloth into a pot of cold water, and then you put that cold water in the fridge for a few hours, and then what happens is the fat floats to the top and solidifies, and then you skim the fat off the top, and you've got this white bacon grease,
and you use it for bacon fudge
and then I've got that sitting next to the stove, and whenever I want to make eggs, dollop of that.
Yeah.
Super good, though.
The problem is that usually when I'm making bacon, Making bacon.
Making bacon.
Yeah. I'm usually cooking other stuff with it, so I don't have a lot of leftover bacon grease. Oh, okay.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
All right. Question number five.
Yeah.
Coffee or donuts? You must choose between True Stone and Glamdahl. Which one must go?
Glamdahl.
Glamdahl's got to go.
I fucking love Glamdahl.
I do love Glamdahl.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But, I can get.
What do I have on a daily basis? Yeah,
I can get them from Mojo Monkey.
Yeah.
Glamdahl is amazing.
Yep.
But True Stone.
And
but
True even Stone. More so, Glamdahl yeah. has some amazing gluten-free and yes. dairy-free options.
Oh, plus they do delivery, too.
I know.
So does True Stone.
Glamdahl is incredibly amazing. I have
used them to brighten somebody's day before.
Yes. I've also when I force my team to actually meet in person, mm-hmm. the ones that are actually in Minnesota,
sure,
which is fewer now that I've shifted, but I bribe them. I have what I call gluten meetings, and I'll bring in bagels and Glamdahl.
Aww. Nice,
right? But that happens once like every 6 months, as opposed to mm-hmm. my daily True Stone intake.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah. if one of them has to go, it's going to be Glamdahl.
Plus, treasured and amazing friend Addison
yes.
drew a little cartoon Addison when they were packing my order together.
Aww. Nice.
And cartoon Addison says, what is it? Selected
Addison
with
works at True Stone.
Haste mm-hmm. and indifference, they say in the little cartoon Aww. Bubble. Nice. Enjoy, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was a fast five.
That's super sweet.
If fast you five. Have a fast five, go ahead and send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one will be just the choices, five mm-hmm. choices. And the second email will contain the choices and the context. Send them both to salsa@aonpodcast.com. If you have never sent them in before, yours will jump to the top of the list. And if you get us a physical copy, we will absolutely do those first. Do we have anything else to plug before we go away?
I do not.
No. The only thing I had to plug was the thing that already happened.
Yep.
But I will say, I believe Double Blind is this week.
That is correct.
All right.
So you should definitely
check
that out.
Many, many shows this
Indeed.
Week.
You yeah. can get more information at fearlesscomedyproductions.com.
Also, there's a band playing this week, isn't there?
Oh, Ooh. Shit. Yeah, that's right. You should go to the Acadia on Thursday because my wife's band, Farewell Tenny, is playing. And I don't remember the exact
I don't remember the exact time,
time
too, but
I will put those in the show notes, absolutely.
There's a couple of bands playing that evening, I believe, right?
Yeah, yeah, they yeah. do like two or three different bands.
And they're all good. Like, just
absolutely.
Show up
and,
for the entire evening.
And Farewell Tenny is Farewell Tenny was actually in the City Pages?
Yeah.
The they City, were, City Pages website with the one of the best that they had one of the top five music videos from local artists and
it Rocking was, Horse it's really good.
Yes, Rocking Horse is a fantastic song.
Yeah.
But my wife is going to be performing at the Acadia on Thursday and I don't again remember the exact time, but we'll make sure those get in the show notes and you should go see that. Other than that, thank you very much for listening. We hope that you stick with us for a few more weeks while we talk about Renaissance Festival ad nauseum. And eventually,
we held back this week.
We
fuckers.
Will get through this eventually.
And if you're somebody who works out at Fest, send us your favorite thing that you mm-hmm. experienced. And if you
yes,
don't work
please.
Out at Fest, but you've gone to Fest, send us your favorite thing that you experienced out there.
Yep. Oh, also, Casimir the Hungry has this coming weekend only a third show every day at 5:15 on Treetop. So you should go see that. We're going to get out of your ear holes now. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And eat the fucking cake.
Oh, I love you, boy.
Night.
Better
testing I'm making the lines jump around.
This is me testing my microphone. Testing
booyah bays based jokes. Booyah bays based jokes.